So it's going now.
So the season starts on the 3rd of May with the Dutch Grand Prix. Although, even if that will work, I don't know. I mean, exactly. I mean, maybe not.
Oops. Did anyone hear any of that? I know you haven't heard it yet.
I can hear you.
Yes, you've joined. Yep. Andrew is online.
So, John, you need to call in now.
Okay. It still says starting soon.
You need to come back out. Come back out and go back in again.
Okay.
I had to do that.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, got it. Yeah, got it.
Whoa!
Volume down, don't worry. That probably wasn't very pleasant, yeah.
Yay! You're in.
Excellent stuff. Waiting for connection. Defamatory, harassing, or obscene content is prohibited.
That's right. Okay. Before.
So right, get your sweaters out of the way.
And now we will go live in 3, 2, 1 on StreamYard 2.
It's not showing John called in yet.
Oh, it's in here. It is in on here.
All right.
It's a little bit echoey from Andrew's side, but I think mine might be all right. Okay. There we go. Good evening, everyone. And welcome to It's Coronavirus. No, it's the F1 show. It's the Car Simon Race Driver Show with me, Patrick, and Jonathan Sutherland and Andrew Barr. That's right, it is our coronavirus special update because, of course, the Australian Grand Prix is no more. It has been cancelled with up to 50,000 people turning up on day one for practice and they couldn't get in. There still wasn't a decision made. And then after that, they decide to cancel the whole event. So we will be getting our views on that, and if you would like to participate, feel free. You can comment on Podbean or on YouTube. It'd be fantastic to see your comments and see what you think. Now I'll turn the music off so you can hear us properly. But so what do you think of the Australian Grand Prix being cancelled? Andrew first, if you like.
Oh, Andrew first. Okay. I think it's inevitable. It was going to happen. You know,
there we are. Okay, that was a very quick answer. and to Jonathan.
Yeah, exactly. As Andrew said, inevitable, really, that it was going to happen. It's just the way they did it. It seemed to leave it till the absolute last minute. So most plans, it was pretty obvious that these things were going to have to be cancelled. And to do it, was it just a few days before? Really was absolutely ridiculous before the first practice session started.
Yeah.
I mean, at least things like the London Marathon, they cancelled it with, you know, whatever month's notice. So people haven't travelled there, people can change their plans. I just don't know why they did it, left it so late with China cancelling way back in February. It was pretty obvious what was going to happen. People knew this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, should have handled it a bit better, I think. What do you think, Hugh?
Yeah, I mean, I think we should have been told much earlier because they had a lot of time and it was inevitable that somebody was going to get the coronavirus. Who was involved in Formula One. And once they get to that stage, then that's it. But now, of course, the breaking news is that Bahrain and Vietnam, both those Grand Prix, have been cancelled as well, or postponed. When I was watching the Sky F1 coverage earlier today, they were saying, they had an interview with Martin Brundle and Jenson Button and a few others. They're saying he doesn't think it's going to start till May or even June before the championship will start, depending on when it will actually calm down. But I think it's kind of, you know, they should have maybe taken some extra precautions beforehand. But what do you do in the meantime? It's, you know, people are kind of ready and waiting.
Yeah, I would have thought, if I had money on it, I would say this season won't go ahead at all.
Really?
To be honest. I think so. I reckon it won't happen. Maybe towards the end of the year, you might get a couple of races just to sort of test the cars out, but I just can't see it happening at all.
So Lewis Hamilton will be 7 times world champion and he won a race.
Yes. Oh, sudden death.
Race of champions.
But maybe not call it that. Yeah, maybe not call it that.
Pandemic.
Sudden win. probably not going to die, hopefully.
Yeah, I had one race, and it could be that completely not happens, and someone like Grosjean wins the championship.
Yes, it could be. Yeah,
yeah, that's going to happen. Somebody on Twitter actually put in, you know, I keep laying into Grosjean. Somebody on Twitter put on it, well, at least your car won't get smashed up in the first race by Grosjean. This will save Haas a bit of money, you know, stuff like this.
Right. Oh, super.
No, yeah. Ah, we'll go and have some cheese.
Well, the thing is, he might win, because the fact is, he could be on the start finish straight and mounts the person who's in the lead, mount his rear tyre, and as a result, go over the top of him and take the checkered flag in front, you know, and then end up barrel rolling across the, you know, before the start finish line. And end up getting first place, you know. And went across the top. So that was quite a thing. But I think, though, there's an answer to all of this, because I'm sure our listeners and viewers will be wondering, well, what are you going to do if you're like us, you love Formula One, and you can't, but you can't see it, nothing's happening. They need to do it on eSports. They should all go back to their, you know, their fortresses in Switzerland or in Monaco. They can have their form. I mean, they've all got simulators at home. We know that Hamilton does it all the time, and they could have a championship on esports. I mean, it would take minutes for them to put it together, and then at least you could watch that live on YouTube, or they could stream it out on Sky or whatever else. And at least you've got a race. At least you've got something. At least you've got people who can, proper racing drivers doing the job.
What would you call it? Can't be Formula One. You can't call it Formula E, because they've already got one of those.
It'd have to be F1 esports, wouldn't it? It'd have to be like, well, they do have an esports championship.
Formula X.
It'd have to be like F1 esports with the real champions or something, you know, championship edition or something. Because at least they could do it, and there's no harm done. And then once things get back to normal and they start racing properly again, they can maybe have 5 or 10 races over maybe a couple of month period or something. And at least that would give you something. All the ones they've missed. And you think how dirty they could be. I mean, they could be far dirtier and over. You know.
You could have power ups.
Grosjean might win.
Yeah, there's
You could have power ups. Imagine. Because I used to, the only F1 game I ever played was years ago, just called Grand Prix. I loved it. I had really nice music in the background. And I am the world champion of that season. And I made it a task to take out Schumacher in every single race. And I managed it. Because my car was indestructible and his wasn't. In Hockenheim, I used to take the second corner by basically copying Takuma Sato, go down the inside and not need the brakes because you use other cars to get round the corner. That took out half the field. And then I just had hardly any wing and went as fast as I could down the straights and overtook everybody. If you did it...
Fighting racing.
Oh, they got you.
Yeah, it'd be absolutely great. You could cheat, do anything you want. You could put the cheats codes in, and suddenly someone turns into a monster truck and drives to the infield and turns back into a car again.
Absolutely Mario Kart. Oh, they could play Formula One Mario Kart.
Put them in classic cars in the 30s, the big auto unions and things. And you have tracks from the past, like Brooklyn, the old Monza, Carabarca. Incredible. Actually, we're on something here, guys.
You can have a BRM that actually finishes a race. Wow, that V16. Wow.
But they could definitely do an esports race for that, without a doubt. They're all Formula One qualified. What would it cost for them to get a sim rig, a really good sim rig put in? And the advantage as well is not only could you see them do the race, you know, all 20 drivers, but then you could have a look at what the house is like, or you know, the room that they've got it in, and they're saying, you know, what kind of colour of socks you've got. You've got the sock the cam and the...
That game when they go to someone's house, it could be through the keyhole and then eventually you get to Hamilton, you know, playing on his PS4 and you could sort of mix it up that way.
Yeah.
The commentary would be fantastic.
Like, oh, be awesome.
Online password, but what's this? His internet connection's down and yep, he's suffering. He's roboting. Oh, and he's back. He's in 10th place.
His silly dog jumps on his lap.
Yeah.
silly dog knocks the controller out of his head. And the dog's ruined the race for him. He doesn't like the dog now, does he? So we've got Ant has put on there that could run on a PS4. And my idea is you could have like a bidding war. In terms of cost, you can make some money out of this between Xbox and PS4, and it can be called Formula F PS4 or Formula F Xbox.
Oh, yeah, that would be... Well, you'd have to have it in one bit, so it was like PS4 was...
I mean, yeah, so I mean, whoever wins the bidding war, that's that season's by them, but they can take care of all the software stuff then, can't they?
Yeah, I think that is what they're going to have to do. I can't see them missing 2 or 3 months, not in this day and age. Not when you've got this kind of massive audience. People want to see something.
Sponsorship and stuff. And, you know, they're paid big money, these guys.
Either they do that, or they all get tested for coronavirus, and then they go, and then they end up, if they're all clear, then they go and they do like a big go-kart race or something. Or they could do something that they could at least have something they could give you to kind of replace it.
The best go-karting session I've had was in Deeside, and they have a quarter of a mile long indoor karting track. Now, you know, that's just a little place in Deeside. For Formula One, you could get a massive hangar. You could have it in the Cardington sheds or something like that. They could have it split level. They could do anything. And they could have parts of the season running indoors on karts.
Yeah. Well, they've got a lot of the big circuits have go-karts. And like Belgium has amazing go-kart. Super GT was there.
But you've got, with that, you've still got the problem of the you know, corona fizzy virus. So.
Well, you'd have to have everybody checked out. It couldn't be done with a crowd. It would have to be done privately, and that. But no, that would be at least be something, because they have to fill the gap.
They can't. Is there anywhere in the world where they don't have the Wu Flu? Is it
probably Alaska?
Has Iceland got it yet?
Alaska?
Yeah, I mean, there may be somewhere they can have it there. Have all find a country without the Wu Flu, and then they could just have all the races on their tracks.
Now, was it not Russia? Russia only had like one example of it, wasn't it?
You can shut the border, so they're going to be clear.
So
all the races in Russia.
Siberia.
Check that out.
Siberia ice racing.
Yeah, that would be excellent.
My other idea was Iceland. Volcano racing. I don't know what they call that in Icelandic, but you know where they get the 900 horsepower nitrous oxide injected Jeeps with tires the size of your mama's? I would love to see someone as wussy as some of those F1 drivers going through that mud full throttle and then having to go up and down the big... That would be amazing. You'd see who's got the big kahunas then.
Exactly.
Yeah, up there, down there. Where's my physiotherapist? I need motivating.
Where's the chiropractor and a few other things?
Well, the best thing I ever saw. Best thing I ever saw Clarkson do was get hurt while that guy drove him down that cliff. Oh, me back.
Twat. So there's definitely options to do something.
Oh yeah, they've got no imagination. They need to get some of those weird. You know, the designers that obviously still live with their mother because they're really good on CAD and CAM and design the cars or whatever they do. Get them to come up with the ideas, because they'd come up with the same kind of insane ideas we're coming up with. Though I still like my idea of the 3-part relay race with the V10s and the bicycles. That's just awesome.
So it's a bit of a triathlon.
Yes, exactly. A triathlon with a team of three. You get some of the old guys back out of retirement. They're all bored now and don't know what they're doing. You know, get Nigel in. Get him to grow his moustache again. He could have extra points for the bushiness of it. What else? You, Chris Hoy. You could have a Scottish team. You could have David Coulthard, Chris Hoy, and Paul de Resta in the modern one. And it could be the Scotland team. Or, you know, there could be all sorts.
Yeah, I know.
Because they're mixing it up, you'd always have overtaking, and you'd always have the sound of that awesome set of V10s that they used to use. And they wouldn't have to make new cars, because they'd just say, use the last lot of V10s. No modifications, just use them.
Yeah. Previous generation.
Yeah. But just get them out of the mothballs, fire them up, clean them off. Jobs are good.
Well, they're actually quite cheap to buy, because that's what Jaguar did when they built their, you know, they had a kind of Formula One series for a while for the kind of all the kind of CEOs of companies who love motor racing, as classics call it, the Baron von Industrialist, who would have his racing car in his garage. And the F1 car was just a detuned Jaguar F1 car. I think it's somewhere about 600 horsepower. But I'm sure that was a V8 or a V10. And because Chris from the new Top Gear, Chris Harris?
Harris, okay.
About 10 years ago, it's on YouTube, and he drove it with Martin Brundle. And he spun it, Chris Harris spun it twice, and Martin was able to go around. And he said, you can't believe how difficult that car was. But they are, I mean, the old, even the V8 engines now are actually quite, they're not nowhere near as expensive because it's old tech. But yeah, it's still, you know, now it's widely available.
Done that. Don't need to keep it up to.
When you hear the noise of them, there's nothing like a V8. I mean, remember we went to Goodwood 2 years ago, about 4 years ago now. And we were right behind. There was a Formula One section, and they had wheeled all the cars out. There was the Red Bull, the Ferrari. I think there was a Toro Rosso, and there was something else. Was it maybe a Renault? I think it was, or a Lotus. And the paintwork looks incredible. But there was a hedgerow between us and the back end of the cars, and the Formula One paddock at Goodwood. And then one by one, they started them up, and you just got this incredible. It's like being a grip. And then they go, you know, bounce off the limiter. As they go down to the start finish straight, for the hill climb, and it's just once you hear that, nothing compares. And they had the new car, they had the 2015 car, I think at that time that Rosberg was driving, and it just goes, and it just said,
going to disagree with you though, as I put with that video that I sent you. I don't know if you managed to see that one, Jonathan, of all the best noises. The V8's very nice, but nothing sounds.
Oh, the V12. I haven't had a chance to listen to that video.
The V12, when you hear it, you probably disagree, because, you know, a V12 is really nice, and there were some lovely normal V12s, you know, sort of like the Ferrari Fox FXXXX, or whatever it's called. They sound amazing, but they had the Ferrari 412 F1 car, and it just screeched. It was screeching. Then the F2004, the V10. Oh my god! I wouldn't marry that. I would. It was. Oh, I mean, I think
Pink Bender food here. You know.
Hey, listen. In America, you can marry anything. They marry their cats. They marry a donkey. You know. I mean, look at Trump. He married a cat, stuck it on his head.
And that. But
Ginger Tom's been following him around for years.
I feel a bit like Murray Walker saying, "Well, it's that's very good, James, but now it's time to move on." It was
what?
Give me back the microphone, you know.
When I went to the Hockenheim Grand Prix in 2001, 2002, the last one they had on the old circuit, I always mix up which year it is, but that year. We were sitting in the Ost curve, so the far end of the circuit. And you have to walk. You have to walk on the west side of the track, I think. Huh? Maybe it's the south side. No, it's laid out. But you're in the woods, and you're all the helicopters are coming over and landing in their little field to go to take the important people in. Above the helicopters, above the sound of the little birdies, above the sound of all the Germans and everything, and it's half a mile away at least, you can hear the V10 screaming. And every single time a McLaren Mercedes drove past, you knew, because it was unique. The sound it had was completely unique. All the others sounded very similar. Great, but similar. But you knew the McLaren Mercedes V10, the Ilmor V10 was going past. It had this kind of howl to it.
Yeah, it was quite a strong sound compared to the other.
Because they were revving.
We went to Jerez. We got the sat-nav anyway. Didn't have sat-nav, did we? But we only got to within about 2 miles of the circuit. And the rest of the directions, we just put the windows down and just followed that noise. I mean, generally, that's how we got there.
Yeah.
Followed the wailing V10s and V8s.
Was that in 2008, I think, wasn't it? Because we saw Hamilton. He was one of the first people that we videoed. We've got that clip on the YouTube channel.
We can't believe it. Because we just walked in and it's like €1 to get in or something. A bit of grass. And there's Hamilton lapping in a brand new
car. Yeah, McLaren.
Yeah. It was a McLaren back then, I suppose, wasn't it?
And at that time, we were able to walk all the way around the circuit, pretty much.
I'm not sure we were meant to.
No. But that was that was his first, because that was only his second year of race, 2008. That was amazing, and it was literally about €3 to get in, and then next year it was like I think it was 10. Yeah. The next year we went, or in 2011 we went, and it was €10 to go in or a wee bit less. And if you paid a bit more, like 12 or 13, you got the full VIP bit. So you could go to the pit lane, or you go opposite the pit lane and you could watch them doing pit stops. And
set the cars up in the pits, which we didn't do. We wouldn't pay that extra €2, would we?
We had tried to get, remember, we walked along the bridge, which is only for the media people. You'd only go so far because we were one of chance
around. Media people. Useless.
But it was something else. And the best bits were, of course, as they line up to do their practice starts out of the pit lane, and then they just let it rip as they go out. And then they also do their practice grid starts at the very end of the session. And that's when they pretend to come on the grid as if they were going to do a grid start, and they were lining up on the actual grid, and then one by one they would all go off. And it was the nearest thing you'd get to watching a Grand Prix start, because they're all ready to go. And with those V8s, the sound was incredible.
Right. Is that the only place they can test them, of those two tests? I mean, when they build the car, I mean, they have no idea, they've never even run it or driven it around the car park or Woking.
They do shakedowns, but they can't. They don't go to circuits so much as like Bruntingthorpe and stuff like that. Do you remember a few years ago, there's an Argentinian female test driver for Minardi. Was it Minardi? Oh, was it Midland? Anyway, Maria de Villotta, and she had a massive crash.
Oh, yes, that's right.
It was a sort of a speed test and the shakedown on an airfield, and they had the truck parked by the side, and she lost control for whatever reason and hit the truck, and that's what gave the massive... She lost an eye, and then a year later, she thought she'd recovered and she just dropped dead. But that was the kind of testing they can do. Most of it's done on simulators. Or they'll fit something to an older chassis and then take that in a test. So
I mean, who regulates it? I mean, does someone from the FAA go along? I mean,
I'm not sure.
Is it just there to make sure the systems work together, the brakes work, which obviously in that case they didn't. I just don't know who regulates it. I mean,
it was regulated by the FIA, but I don't know how they police it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think the Minardi event probably wasn't very well sorted out, and that's why that crash happened, wasn't it? Because she crashed into a truck or something.
Yeah,
wasn't
it? Truck. It was
like head of a truck.
Yeah.
Tailgate, wasn't it? It was a tailgate. It was their truck. You know, it was the truck they brought gear out to.
Yeah. It was a bit of a strange one. But to our audience, because we've got a number of people who have just joined us recently on Podbean, so welcome to the show. You're listening to the Car Sim and Race Driver Show with me, Hugh Hattrick, and my very special guests, Andrew Barr and Jonathan Sutherland. And we're talking, of course, about the coronavirus and how it's affected Formula One with the cancellation of the Australian Grand Prix. But breaking news today, just earlier on this afternoon, was that they've also postponed the Vietnamese Grand Prix, and the Bahrain Grand Prix as well has been postponed too. So if you've booked tickets for that, you'll want to check with your providers to see if you can get a refund. As far as I know, I think that is the case. They were saying in Australia, they're all working with the companies that have provided the tickets to try and get people refunded. But we are trying to think what kind of alternative is possible for Formula One, because we think that they're all sim drivers. Many of them test all the time on the sims. They play at home. They could do an esports series, and at least they could put that live stream it out, and we could actually see it. And we were thinking, wouldn't it be great to see Lewis and all the others in their little race rooms at home? And you could have the commentary, see what they're doing as they drive along, and see who could win a few races. I think they'd be up for that. I think that would be something. And perhaps they could do a few live races, maybe in closed arenas as well, like go-karts or something, because they need to get paid, you know, tens of millions of pounds a year. They need to earn that money. I mean, you kind of wonder what their contract says if the races are cancelled. Do they still get the money, or
how you paying Sky for your F1 coverage? Is it going to be good value this year?
Thanks for reminding me about that. You know,
rerun of the 1996 Grand Prix season. $17.99 extra a month.
You know, I won't say what I'm paying, I'll need to go on the channel.
They're actually cancelled, Hugh. They're not actually postponed. They're actually completely cancelled. Up to the Dutch Grand Prix. So the Dutch Grand Prix is currently scheduled to be the first race.
Is it?
Season.
Right, yeah. Right. And is that, when's the Dutch Grand Prix again? Is that
May?
May.
May.
Yeah, the chances of that going ahead seem pretty unlikely, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, certainly Martin Brundle said that he reckons May or June at the very earliest, before we'll see a race happen. But it's kind of, you know, you kind of get ready. You're kind of waiting for it to happen. And you're getting ready to set your clock early in the morning for Australia. And of course, it's, you know, it's not happening. It's not there.
I was disgusted because I was going to listen to it live on Five Live, Radio Five Live. And, you know, I turned it on. It's late in the night. I turned my little phone on and put it on BBC Sounds, or whatever they call the stupid thing now. It doesn't work very well. And it wasn't there. And then they had this little... They had supposedly an hour-long broadcast from their team, which turned out to be 35 minutes long, 33 minutes of which was people talking about cricket. And then they had the beginning of Jenny Gow and the other two introducing the fact that they're now going to talk about the Formula One and how it's been cancelled. And then it just stopped.
Oh,
and no one seems to care. It's like,
yeah.
It's like everyone in F1 doesn't give a damn about us, the people that are paying them by being fans, you know, whether it's the BBC or whether it's Channel 4 or whether it's whoever it is, no one's, there's not even been a season opening, you know, broadcast to sort of look at what's going on in the season.
Well, I had heard that some of the racing drivers, I think a few of them had got the first flight back to Abu Dhabi that they could, so they could get back home in a reasonable time, because they must know that Bahrain's obviously off and all these, you know, it's all finished and that's it. Yeah. But the thing is, a lot of the esports championships go to the racetracks now, because that's been what they've tried to do recently, is to introduce the simulators at every Grand Prix, I think. So people can go in, if you're a spectator, you can wander around the track, or, you know, all the things that are on all the trade stands, and then they have the FIA bits, you know, it's like they've got you know, the kind of special VIP areas, and then they've got the F1 experiences and things like that. But a lot of them actually do have esports facilities at every race now, I think it is. And perhaps our viewers and listeners might be able to give us exact details on that. But so you kind of think they should have just waited and said, look, if you're all virus-free, why don't you just come in and do a race on the esports, at least do something for all the people that have come in to watch, you know, and also for the TV viewers around the world. Because I think genuinely it would help that part of the sport massively, and give it a lot more credibility. Because they're all, I mean, if they can drive a real racing car, they can drive a simulator.
Well, like you say, they all do it at home anyway, don't they? They I don't know so much learn the tracks, but a lot of them, they all play on it. And you see on the, again, Twitter accounts are useful for seeing this kind of stuff, because all the teams will post Lando Norris playing against, Science or something. In their hotel room, because they all get together and just pee about and have a laugh while they're playing, and they're all, you can see how deadly serious they are playing on their PlayStations or Xboxes, racing each other. They're just as competitive, so that might work really well.
You can imagine them sitting there during the race, and then one of Hamilton's dogs comes in or something and puts on his lap as he's trying to enjoy the TV. He's like, get off.
No. Bosco, that's his name.
You know, all sorts of kind of this wrong things happening at the wrong times, you know.
What would be quite good is, just to mix it up a bit, because presumably all the championships are going to be cancelled this year, because the guy that we were talking to at Brooklands yesterday, who said the British GT Championship was pretty much going to be postponed, or at least probably cancelled this year. So why not put sort of F2 drivers, GT guys, touring car guys, against the F1 guys? You can have sort of a race of champions.
Oh, yes!
You really mix it up.
That would be something, though, wouldn't it?
Because the race of champions is brilliant, because you get to see them in the different cars.
Where would you put it, though? How could you...
But this is the thing, like you're saying, with the virus, the whole problem is that people can't go somewhere. So if you, like you say, leave them at home and just... I mean, can you imagine an F1 driver on tens of millions of pounds a year not having a decent broadband? Come on. You could just like...
In the countryside. Like,
yeah. They'll own a satellite somewhere, you know, come on.
Yeah, they'll have some kind of link up somewhere that will make it happen, certainly, wouldn't it?
This is why we laugh so much when the likes of Hamilton tells everybody to stop. Stop doing this, stop doing that, and then jumped on a plane all over the world. You know, come on.
It's going to be something, because you've got all these incredible motorsport events that are like, well, they've done the Daytona 500, isn't it? But the Indy 500's in May, so that could all get cancelled. I mean, the amount of money lost that these championships are going to lose, you know, and the teams involved, they could be paying out millions to try and help them keep going. And they were saying that today, you know, that could really affect Williams because half the money comes from the TV revenue and they don't get that if the race isn't broadcast. So they could be in real trouble. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Might save Williams, Julian. Their car probably won't be ready till May the 3rd.
No, so, it is ready. Their car is.
Last year.
Well, then get some new updates.
Come on. That's just not right. Their car was much better this year and they got it ready. And
I would drive to survive Series 2.
Yeah, so I've... That was last year. That was last year. And very, very deliberately... Claire was so angry about that she made a real point of making sure everything turned up. I've seen the footage of this year's set of tests, and they were saying the first thing we made sure we turned up and it was ready to race and all that kind of stuff. Not race, you know, test. So yeah, that's. And if you see, there's footage of the car with Russell driving it, and it's so much more stable. You can see the difference. He's not.
Yeah, I think Russell's really underrated. Because he couldn't really, I mean, he did quite well last year considering where he started. Yeah. And I think give him, I mean, he beat Lando Norris to the F2 championship. So it's definitely worth watching him. Because I think if you can get a car that's anywhere near reasonable, then I think you're going to see him really pushing up the field. And I think he could be very, very good.
So impressed by his maturity because he had every reason to give up last year. He had every reason to not, he was only beating his teammate and his teammate. Frankly, wasn't really performing brilliantly. But whenever he was pushed to try and criticise the team, he wouldn't. Whenever he was asked if he was going to, has this ruined your career? And he said, that'd be ridiculous. It's not, you know, we're working together.
I've got a great career ahead of me.
Well, you know? The thing is that everyone, he was right, though. He was right because everyone that needed to know could see how good he was.
Yeah.
It didn't matter who he was driving for. Alonso started in Minardi, so did Webber. So yeah. I mean, but everyone knew how good they were because with the machinery they got, they managed to do what they did. So
yeah, Toto Wolff knows exactly what he's capable of.
Yeah.
I wonder if you're in a team like Williams for long enough, whether you just lose that drive to win. You know, you just get sort of sucked into it a bit. I think he needs to get moved into a team that can actually have a hope of winning at some point.
Yeah. Well,
I was just going to say, with Claire and Frank Williams, I can't see that happening because I don't think I have ever encountered people as focused on doing well in Formula One as those two. I mean, certainly Frank Williams, and he's brought his daughter up very much the same.
Well, they need to focus a bit harder because they're right down the back of the grid.
But no, so,
I don't think Claire Williams came out of that Drive to Survive documentary very well at all. It seemed to me she was very passive, the way she's wandering around the factory going, oh, is that a problem? Oh dear. I didn't get an impression from her. If you compare to sort of Zach at McLaren or Toto Wolff, they really have that aura of sort of, you know, authority about them, and you sort of trust them in a crisis. I didn't get that with Claire Williams at all, to be honest. It looked a bit rudderless.
What they really need is somebody like Claude from The Apprentice, because he would certainly be able to keep them right, wouldn't they?
I've got a problem with it. A lot of people think that being aggressive is good leadership, and it's not. You know,
I don't think he's
aggressive. I think Toto Wolff is very, very good, but the likes of Claude, and all them kind of stuff, that's what they are. They just basically frighten people, but it doesn't get good work out of people. It just makes people as brave. I have bosses like that, and I worked less for them because they just thought you were a bit of a wanker. So, but if you properly behind the scenes, I reckon Claire's actually quite frightening. She there's one bit in that documentary where she was basically telling one guy that heads are going to roll if this doesn't get sorted out. And this
it's not my computer, but it's roboting a bit on my sound. I don't know whether I'm roboting.
You're fine. You're coming through well. There's a little bit of echo on Andrew's, but only ever so often. But you know, it's coming through fine.
Okay, it's a bit weird because I've got the headphones for both.
Yeah, it should be okay. And no one said for Podbean listeners, I hope everything is coming through fine. Let us know if the quality is not great. I can't guarantee the conversation quality might be great, but hopefully the sound quality won't be as good as we can get He's as good as we can get.
On YouTube, he's going to comment that he's going to buy a Skeletrix to run his own F1 program.
I think that's the most sensible one we've had yet. You know. Yeah, there's going to be things that they can do to make it all happen. But one of the things that we were doing, because, you know, we've talked a little bit about how do you get, you know, the next generation, and obviously there's all the young generation watching Formula One. They've seen Formula E, they like all of that. They're brought up with the kind of hybrid era Formula One cars and things like that. But how do you get people back into actual cars? Because there's, you know, people who tend to like racing don't always, they're not maybe that interested in the car side as well. And I think what we, like when we were brought up, you know, in watching Formula One in the 90s, and so on. You know, we were all car people as well. And that's kind of what brought us in, because we liked, whether it be hot hatches or any kind of decent car you could get, or just driving it fast. And then in turn, watching Formula One, that's what inspired you to be a boy racer, because you wanted to drive it faster. But ultimately, it was the kind of, it was the car side as well that has a big part to play in it. And people, I think, are missing out, because, you know, it's great fun watching all these races, but really, ultimately, you want to be able to drive. Now, simulator racing is great fun. It kind of acts as a kind of intermediary, you could say, to some of that. But really, you want to get a great car if you can. You know, you want to know what's a good car for your, you know, for what you're looking for. And when we were at Mercedes-Benz yesterday down at Brooklands, we thought this is a fantastic way to you know, for people to experience what Mercedes-Benz is all about. So, you know, you've got the racing cars, all the history. I mean, we saw these incredible, you know, the Bonds, villain cars, you know, like the Mercedes S-classes and things like that. Also, obviously, you've got simulators and everything. And imagine if every big manufacturer, like, owned a kind of mini circuit or something like that, and had their big kind of museums and their kind of experience centres, how good it would be, and how much more, you know, young folk would actually get involved and come along and see what it's like to really get the fun of driving again. Because that seems to be, that's been driven out of the young generation. You know, they don't want the freedom of having their own car and driving, and they're missing out. And I don't know what you guys think. Obviously, Jonathan, you were there with me yesterday, but I thought the experience at Mercedes was first rate. And by the way, we're not being paid by them. That's simply our experience.
We're not being paid by them. I can assure you of that. Yeah. No, I agree. It was a great place to be. And actually, the youngest person to do the driving experience there was just 7 years old. There isn't an age limit. There's only a height limit that basically told up to get to pedal. So the oldest person that had it in the truck was 103, and the youngest was 7 years old.
Wow.
Now, if you can get youngsters at seven into Mercedes-Benz cars and get them there, get them interested, then they're going to aspire to have an AMG. They're going to aspire to have a faster Mercedes-Benz. And I think it's an absolutely great idea to have these things there. Kind of a museum, a showroom, a showpiece to show the excitement of driving, the freedom of driving, the technology, the design, and it was a great thing that they brought together there. Absolutely great. But I can't imagine Dacia doing it.
Yeah. It might be slightly different. I'm sure they could have an off-road course for a Duster or something like that, or a supermarket car park for the Logan to see how much stuff you can fit in it.
That's right. You can take it down to what I want to say. That's going to sound very incorrect. No, I just won't.
Yeah. But
just want to say hello to Freedom of Choice. You said hello to us all and joined us on YouTube.
Yes, it's great to see you. Yeah, we've got a whole bunch of new people who are commenting. Fantastic. It's great to have you all with us. We hope you're enjoying the show, and feel free to comment as much as you like, and we'll do our best to make sure we mention them. I have to check a few seconds here on Podbean to make sure that we haven't got comments here that I've missed. So remember, for all of you listening on Podbean, feel free to comment on the Podbean app as well, and we'll do our best to mention your comments. So now we've kind of done all the bits on Formula One and kind of the mess that is that, and we'll see exactly what they come up with to try and fill in the calendar and keep us F1 enthusiasts on board, because you think this is going to cost them a fortune. You can see a lot of people canceling their subscriptions, but there was a guy who similarly, I remember one of the comments on Twitter, he'd flown all the way to Australia economy only to get there and find out that the thing had been cancelled. I mean, that's not a nice trip up to me.
That's what it. I mean, that's five. Actually, I've no idea how much it costs.
At least 24 hours on the plane as well, isn't it? Just about.
Yeah, but it's hundreds and hundreds of pounds just to get there, isn't it? So.
Yeah.
Oh, no change. You're not taking £1,000 a trip.
That much, isn't it? Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
No, you don't want to do that. So at least
this is the point. This is what so many people on Twitter have been saying about how slow the FIA were to announce that it's cancelled. You know, that I think one guy was saying that the 50,000 people turned up on Friday queuing for the circuit, and after hours of queuing for the circuit, then they're told that it's cancelled. Not beforehand or as soon as... It had been known for quite a while that if any one team couldn't race, the other teams weren't going to race either. And McLaren announced, I think the day before, that they weren't going to be competing. Well, straight away, if you're in the FIA, grow a pair and say, right, cancelling the race so that everybody knows.
Presumably, it's the case of whoever makes the call might get held responsible for the loss of revenue. So no one is going to make the call at the last minute. But as you were saying earlier, Ruth, the person that loses there is the fans, the spectators, because they've made their travel plans. The chances are, if they had a week's notice, that person flying out maybe had a cancel. And under the circumstances, got a refund, got the hotel refunded. There must be tens of millions of pounds that people have spent.
Yeah.
And they just wasted it.
Whoever wouldn't take that leap, who wouldn't take the responsibility for doing that, obviously fails to understand is that it's the worst piece of marketing nightmare to annoy your fans in such a way they're just going to switch off.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Switch off. They're not going to come back.
Yeah.
So they'll lose so much more, you know, in the long run, because they're losing the people that pay their wages.
I think as well, because now, you know, and it reminds me of looking at my pictures in the background there of Senna and people like that, and Button and Alonso and things like that. In the old days, if there was an issue, like, you know, the drivers would really speak out about it. I mean, I know they've had the clips of Hamilton saying, you know, take care, everyone, and it's right what has happened and so on. But, you know, and could you imagine Senna and Mansell's response? I mean, they wouldn't be, I think they'd be much more, you know, they'd be making big speeches and everyone would be spellbound by what they had to say. You know, it would be, Senna would grab a mic.
No leadership shown by anybody
at
all. As you say, you remember in the days when the track got too dangerous or it was too wet, you'd see the top drivers like Senna or Prost or Mansell, they'd just get out and they'd stop by Charlie Whiting and say, no, I don't care if I stop my car and lose this race. This isn't safe. We stop now. And when they made that decision, and there was no, you know, then they had to cancel it.
Yeah.
But the kind of stuff that comes out on Instagram from Lewis Hamilton and the other drivers is completely through the PR,
the managers, and
little virtue signaling, social justice sort of comment about how sorry we feel for people who've got the woo flu. And
where do you get woo
flu? You know, it's so safe. There's no leadership. There's no. Yeah, they're meant
to be
warriors.
Well, this is like when I've complained to Hugh about this. When someone gets told off for swearing. I mean, this is meant to be a passionate sport. So I love it when Vettel goes, I'm off and all this kind of... Or when Raikkonen swears at the press. I think that's fantastic because you're seeing real people and you get the same thing in the marketing departments of Formula One, aren't you? This kind of like this plastic, fantastic. I'm surprised they can get infected by anything. They're all robots.
It's incredible. They don't want them to swear. Well, you know, it's like you get one, some guy that spins at 200 miles an hour and this is a tree by about an inch. Yes. And he says, fuck.
Hello, dear.
You might do so.
That's the great thing. That's the great thing about that Drive to Survive, isn't it? Because you hear so much. We don't hear very much of the radio conversations, do we? You're hearing this guy
in my car 200 miles an hour and miss a tree by an inch. I'm not going to say, oh, bother. You know, it's like I'm going to use pretty frigid language. And some of the language they use against Netflix was maybe too frigid to use on this.
Yes, don't worry, it's not for children. Gunter
Steiner, I love him.
he is.
I want him to be my dad.
It could be a great T-shirt with that. Stop whining and keep
driving. Stop whining! I don't give a beep!
Roman, none of us are happy about the situation. Just drive the car. Stop whining!
When he shouted at them in his office and then Magnussen left and smashed the door on the way out. You're like...
Oh, yeah, and he said, you get back here now. This is not acceptable. This is not acceptable.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
That was, it's funny, isn't it? But you think some of the older drivers, well, actually, here's the thing for you. If people sign the form that, yes, I like to shake the finger there, that's the thing. That if they sign the form saying that it is motorsport, it is dangerous, they are happy to go and watch it.
No!
Norovirus. Then that's just part of the threat of being a motorsport,
Governments, no one's going to allow that.
I mean, you just sign a photo form.
What did I hear?
And say that I'm happy to take that risk. You know, I'm coming to watch the race.
Go back to their home countries and, you know, infect half the population.
Yeah, this is the problem. Now,
only one person had it in McLaren, though, is it not?
Yeah, they can take him and they can put him in a box, or she, could be a she, you know, women aren't actually immune from viruses, apparently. And you can put them in a box and then they can be shipped back to the home, all sealed up, like in E.T., you know, when they put the stuff around the house and they're all in tubes and all that kind of stuff. And then they can be safe and die in this comfort of their own home without infecting anybody.
No, I just thought, you know, it's motor racing, one of those things. Like, if it was in America, they would just say that you sign your form, you take a chance, innit? And you just go along and...
It's funny, because I heard something... in this last week, and I can't remember whether it wasn't a joke, it was meant to be factual, but whether it's true or not, I don't know, that in North Korea, if someone, they shoot them. If anyone looks like they got the virus, they just blow their heads off. And that sounds like Texas. I mean, that's the kind, everyone's got a gun there anyway. So you've got to be, you go to Dallas, you run the race, and everyone's coffins just being shot with sniper rifles. That's brilliant.
But the thing is,
a good suggestion here from Ant. He says that instead of wearing their Nomex overalls, you have a biohazard suit for respirators.
Sounds like a
get a bio suit with like Patronas on the side, and you know, a respirator with sort of, you know, whoever they're all sponsored by.
Yeah, Red Bull, Red Bull respirator.
Yes, and the medical rep companies, they could all sponsor it. So you got like Smith, Klein, Glaxo, Beecham sponsors the AlphaTauri team. You know, like that. They could be really good.
AstraZeneca.
AstraZeneca, exactly.
Right. Who's pick a weird hybrid? Right, the pink ones. Racing Point, whatever they're called these days.
The pink Mercedes.
The pink Mercedes. The Blancmange Mercedes, right? They can be sponsored by Monsanto for genetic engineering because they've modified something else.
You see, you've got to think outside the box here. You've got to keep the coin rolling in. You know, that's what they've got to do. So no one's interested in fuel, no one's interested in travel anymore because you're just going to die. But what you do want is biochemical hazard suits. You do need information. You do need hand sanitizer. We need Andrex. We need tinned foods. You know, this is what we need to do. We need to adapt. So you have esports sponsored by all these kind of societies. We're preppers.
It's Formula Apocalyptic. Formula Apocalyptic.
Esports sponsored by Yorkshire.
Yorkshire team.
Yeah. Esports.
Come on.
The
old ones are the good ones.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yes, I am. Oh, so we weren't talking about that. Okay.
Well, we're coming up to nearly 50 minutes of the Car Simon Race Driver Show. Now, remember, we'll put in the description as well when the video goes out on YouTube later on, our deal with CD Keys. If you're a gamer and you like online gaming, then we've got a fantastic deal with CD Keys. If you hit the link, and that will save you a fortune on your PS4 membership, your PS4 games, Xbox, the whole lot, and PCs as well. They've got a vast range of games and services for all your essential gaming needs, and it helps to support the show, plus get a fantastic discount on us. That would be great. But yeah, so we've really covered quite a bit there. I don't know if we've made any progress as to how we can fix it.
Literally haven't. When do we ever do that? I mean, that's not the point of this show. We go off on a tangent, it's great. I enjoy doing that. So far, we've got bio-suited esports drivers sponsored by Monsanto. Driving around Brooklyn in sort of 1930s auto unions. Perfect.
And the tubes. I want the tubes like on E.T. If we don't have the tubes on E.T., then I'm not in on that one.
Got to have tubes.
Got to have the tubes because it looks official then, doesn't it? And it looks biohazardy. Just walking around in a funny suit. They could be going to Mars or something. It could be anything. practicing being in on the red planet. We need snot catching devices and snipers rifles, lots of those, yes.
And just from my point of view, I'd like to thank the people viewing on my channel for the $200 in donations. It really helps keep this channel alive. Thank you very much indeed.
Yes, and if you see a red dot on your forehead, it's nothing to do with this. Don't sneeze.
Well, it's been great having you on the show. Stay online, and I'll speak to you in a wee minute. But to all our viewers and all our listeners of the Car, Sim and Race Driver show, it's time to drive fast and try not to crash. Thanks for watching and listening, and we'll see you soon. Bye just now.